Hey, everybody. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. I had a great one. It was very peaceful. Had a bunch of relatives over, but it was still peaceful. Some wanted to start to talk politics, but I had this rule. If you want to talk politics, you have to take a hit of helium. And it worked great. Nobody argued because you can't get mad at anybody that sounds like that. It was a win-win. Try it. I'm telling you, it works. And also, check out my sponsor, deepdiscount.com. They have been a loyal sponsor and helped me bring this podcast to you, so I appreciate you supporting them. They have a Cyber Week sale going on right now. It's amazing. Thousands of titles on sale at your fingertips, your favorite movie, TV show, books, music, new releases, old school stuff. Go to my website, paulmercurio.com, click on the Deep Discount logo, and it'll take you there. My website, click on the logo, and then it'll take you right to their site. Get a jump on your holiday shopping. I mean, I have. I got, oh, by the way, they have on Deep Discount, they have the Fred Rogers story, Won't You Be My Neighbor, PBS guy. Great documentary on him. Watch it, buy it. It's really inexpensive. It's right on the homepage. They also have a bunch of great, great deals on DC Comics stuff. I'm a big fan of that, so I've been buying up a lot of that stuff. Again, for me. Just go to my website, paulmercurio.com, click on the deepdiscount.com logo. It'll take you right there. Holiday classics, hard-to-find titles, upcoming new releases, including my good friend Anthony Cumia's book, Permanently Suspended. It's a long-awaited life story, answers many of the questions fans have been waiting for. You know, one I know the answer to, yes, he has a hairy back. But check that out. Go to deepdiscount.com. Just go to my website, click on that logo, and it'll take you there, and you'll get some great discounts for the holidays, for yourself, for your friends, for your family, for your dog, etc. Okay, and also leave some comments on the old iTunes there if you like the podcast. It always helps. And my one-man show, Paul Mercurio's Permission to Speak, is playing at the Actors Temple Theater. We've extended it into January. Please come. Go to telecharge.com for tickets. That's Actors Temple Theater, telecharge.com. It's called Paul Mercurio's Permission to Speak, and use the code PMFAN and you get half off. All right, enjoy the guests this week. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show and welcome, first timers. Joining me today is the Emmy Award winning director. You know him from his work on Game of Thrones. He has a new film out called Rising, which we're going to speak about in a second. And has also been behind some of the iconic shows on television, including directed The X-Files, David Nutter. Nice to have you on the show.
Fantastic. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So I want to talk about a bunch of stuff with you, but this Rising film that you're doing that just came out, that seems really interesting and as part of sort of a bigger campaign and series. And tell people a little bit about it and what sort of got you interested in getting involved in something like that.
Well, the Ad Council has been around for many, many years. They put together campaigns such as Friends Don't Let Friends Drive Drunk, and even You Can Put Out Can Prevent Fire Forest Fires. And basically, for the last 4 years, they've been doing a Love Has No Labels campaign that kind of deals with the fact that love has no ethnic diversity, love has no ethnic issues, love has no sexual orientation, love has no ageism, love has no disability. Love is love, and basically, we should love each other no matter what differences there are. It's a situation where this year they want to do something of a short film nature that kind of can, the audience can kind of get involved in and become emotionally invested in the story. So we created the story of a new family who've just moved to the United States and how that they deal with basically living in the neighborhood, and could be Houston, could be New Orleans, could be anywhere, how they deal with basically that situation. And also a disaster hits the town, and how neighbors of all shapes and sizes and creeds and whatever all come together and help each other. And it's a really story about love and trust and overcoming fear and reaching out to help someone.
Yeah, it's really timely. It's a Muslim family, so it sort of addresses the ideas, I imagine, of Islamophobia, right?
Well, absolutely. You know, we're all from the same cloth. You know, I pluribus unum, out of many one, and it's a situation in which we all are human beings, and we all should respect that and understand that. That's the most important thing of all. I think this messages of fear and hate that have been kind of manufactured over the last several years is a very false feeling, and that's not how we feel. I know that's not how people I know feel that feel. And I think it's a situation in which this one really proves that the fact that we all in each way are heroes, and we all can basically reach out and touch someone in a positive light rather than make a fist.
Yeah, and it's really hard, you know, because I actually talk about this in my act a little bit. You know, I'm Italian and I look Italian, and the first thing people think about when they think of Italians is they think of the mafia. And, right. You know, there's a lot of movies that come out of Hollywood are mafia movies. And that's, you know, and I could get upset about that and be writing letters all day. But I also have to own it in the sense that the people who are in the mafia are Italians and they look like me. And so I'm going to get that sometimes. For a split second, somebody might think in the back of their mind, well, maybe he's got a relative in the mafia, whatever, right? And actually, I did have one. My cousin ran numbers for the mafia for a little while. But and so I also think the Muslim community, unfortunately, has to deal with that because there's this horrible group of people doing these terrible things that look a certain way and dress a certain way. And so people who also look and dress that way and sound that way get put into that barrel, if you will. And that's sad, but it's true. And I think things like this can help people fight that. I think if you think it for a split second, it's not the end of the world. But if you hold on to it and believe every single one of those people is as bad as the terrorists that do those things, then you're racist and it's bad. And it's a very tricky thing. It's not necessarily black and white, but it's very tricky for people to get their head around a lot of this. So it sounds like this film would be good for that.
Very much so. It's a situation in which I guarantee that if you sit down for 10 minutes and become emotionally invested in this project, it's really whatever you take away from it will be something that it'll be personal to you and something that will really affect you, because it's a situation where we're not preaching in this film. We're not saying feel this way or feel or act that way or whatever. Watch how people act with each other. Watch how people help each other. Watch how people kind of interact with each other, and also see how much love there is between people, and then take from that what you will. And to me, that's the best kind of a lesson. It's a learning lesson. It's basically a situation in which if you care, you'll learn more. And I wanted to get the audience to care before you're trying to preach something to them. And it's this feeling that we all, we have much more similarities, no matter what our color, creed, or whatever it may be, than we have dissimilarities, you know? You're in a situation, you mentioned you're Italian, but also you got two legs, two arms, and a head. And I have the same thing, in which we have 10 toes and 10 fingers and all those things. And we smile and we laugh and we like certain foods and all those things. There's a lot to share with who we are. And I think it's important to step beyond the manufactured fear that's out there and be bold. And I think that this is an opportunity for, I think, the audience and the general public to have a voice in this conversation as well. One that's positive and it's about love.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, especially now where we have leadership in the country that decides that they're going to get power and stay in power through division and as opposed to, you know, commonality. I think that having something like this out there and as much of this out there as possible is really, really important and something that's really needed, you know.
We are better than that, and I think we need to give ourselves credit for that as well. And I think mm-hmm. it's a situation where that, you know, the Love Has No Labels .com is the place really to watch this film, and something that you can really, in a sense, watch it with your family, watch it with your friends, watch it alone. But whatever you mm-hmm. do, watch it. And at the end, I guarantee you'll have a different perspective.
Let me ask you about your process of working as a director. You know, you've done a lot of pilots that have gone to series. They call you the pilot whisperer, apparently. And also, you know, Game of Thrones, obviously, you have a big hand in that. And final season is coming up in April. And you said in doing season 8, it was really about your quote is, it was really about taking these characters from point A to point B to point C to D to E in the various episodes that I did and making sure that it all balances out properly. Two questions. What did you mean by that? And how involved in the scripts are you as they're being written as the director? And how involved do you like to be in that process as you're heading to actual shooting the show?
Well, working on Game of Thrones with David Benioff and Dan Weiss, I'm handed gold. I'm handed basically a gold record or a platinum album, that type of thing. The writing is so tremendous, so rich, and each revision it gets even better and better and better. So to me, it's about, if anything, when I read a sequence, I'll sit down with the guys and say, what do you mean by this? Or where do you want to go with this and so forth? So to me, it's about learning what's happening in between the lines so I can better direct a sequence. But of course, with pilots and so forth, lots of times, you know, you're there as a director and you're there helping form the third act. Or you're helping adjust this, helping to make character more clear, helping to make the situation more clear, how to make them more emotionally powerful and so forth. So as a director for pilots and so forth, I'm much more involved in the screenplay part of the equation. But as far as working on somebody like Game of Thrones, I'm handed gold, and my goal is to polish it. And when it comes to working with actors, you know, most importantly is that I want the actors to do their very best in each of the scenes. So it's about rehearsal with the actors, making sure that they technically understand what they're doing. And then once they've got that, then they can let that go and they can really not really have to act, but just to kind of be these characters. So to me, it's about my goal is to present an environment for them to feel comfortable to do so and take them from wherever their characters are headed and make sure that we continue to keep the path of the logical sensibility of where their characters are in each sequence. Because lots of times in the Game of Thrones, you're shooting out of sequence or you're shooting different locations and so forth. So it's making sure that the actors know emotionally where they are in that particular sequence. And my goal there is to make sure that that's not a question mark as far as the directing is concerned.
Is there any improvisation after you get something that's on paper down in terms of the takes? Do you allow or is it allowed to try to play a little bit with the text at all? Or is it pretty much, you know, what's on the page?
On Game of Thrones, it's pretty damn good. And it's difficult to find something as good as what they've written.
Yeah.
So everyone appreciates that. They really like to follow. Follows together. But oftentimes there may be a piece of humor or something you add into it that would once in a while get through, but it's so well written and so well thought out that it's about making what they gave us and wrapping that beautifully.
Yeah. Well, one last thing. I read that you hadn't read the books because you said, I wanted to let the scripts guide me into where I was going. I would have thought that reading the books, you could sort of at least get additional information and then decide if that would help inform you. But explain that process to me a little bit. I'm really fascinated by it.
Well, to me as a director, I'm painting a landscape. And so what's important is that I want the screenplay, the guys that I'm working with on the screenplay, David and Dan, I want to hear from them what they have to say. Because George, of course, writes these amazing novels with characters going off in one direction or going off in another direction, and there's other stories that don't get a chance to get fit into the series. And I think a lot of times there's sometimes maybe a left turn here or a right turn here that happens that George says that maybe Dan and Dave don't want to do or don't want to take that in the future. So to me, I don't want to hear from the source that's just outside the box. The screenplay is my source, and that's what I really want to focus on most importantly. I mean, it's a situation for me is that I also I'm such a fan that when I finished season 5, I did not want to read season 6 of what was going to happen. So I had an opportunity to go to a fundraiser and met President Obama, and he was a big fan of the show. And they said, you know, David Nutter, he directed yada, 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 yada. And he turned to me and he said, "Yeah, so you didn't kill Jon Snow, did you?" And I said, "Mr. President, he's deader than dead." And he said, "You kill all my favorite characters." And of course, when I found out, as everyone else did, that Jon Snow came back to life, I was worried that I'd be getting a tax audit or be sent off to Cuba or something, but it was all good. And the president after that, we had a big laugh.
Oh, that's great. Do you have a significant background in script writing or screenwriting or script analysis? Because you obviously that's a big part of what a director does, and I'm always interested in process. Or is that something sort of you developed over the years as a director on how to break down a script, especially when you're, as you mentioned, you're working with pilots and helping shape the pilot? Where does that experience come from for you?
Well, a lot of times on pilots, it's a situation in which, you know, the writers like to put in every morsel of script writing, of course, in every scene. But you sometimes say, listen, we have 14 days, we have so many hours to shoot this, we don't have the budget for that set. So it's about kind of at a pragmatic experience that we're saying this has to go and this has to go. And we realize also, too, in testing shows and so forth, you know what the audience goes for. You can get rid of shoe leather. You can get rid of too much explaining. Lots of times in pilots, they like to do front load everything with all this information. But if the audience doesn't care about what they're watching, the information is going to be like a sieve and they're not going to remember that. So you have to get the audience emotionally involved first. So to me, it's about kind of finding those sensibilities and tones to kind of like, you know, make the piece one with other situations in screenwriting and so forth. It may be just maybe a button of a scene or a line or something like that that I'll have a lot of experience with, and I'll have suggestions with as well that'll help to kind of get to the point sometimes.
Yeah, I'm sure it helps to have a fresh, as the writers, to have a fresh set of eyes come in too. Sometimes you get too close.
Absolutely,
to it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I wish you the best of luck. It's really great chatting with you, and love to talk to you more down the road if we can. The film is Rising, which is out now. Go see it. And
It's at lovehasnolabels.com. It's all over the internet, and it's going to be on Showtime tomorrow evening. I'm premiered on Showtime as well, and it's a film that I guarantee, if you like Game of Thrones, you'll love this.
Okay, great. And really treat to have you on. A big fan, and congratulations on all your success, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you very much, Paul. Take care.
Well, there you go. This is the guy that's like at the epicenter of one of the biggest television series ever. It was really cool having him on. Please go leave some comments on iTunes, some good stuff about the show, if you don't mind. And come check out one of my shows on Broadway, Paul Mercurio's Permission to Speak. You can go to telecharge.com for tickets and use the code PMFAN to get half off. Hey, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week, everybody.